Most of us have a doctor that we see for checkups and when we're not feeling well, but many of us also use alternative medicines or therapies to keep us healthy and to enhance some of those more traditional medical treatments. It might surprise you to know that some of those same alternative approaches can be useful for our pets as well. Dr. Carrie Donahue with us today. She's the owner and founder of Kindred Spirits Holistic Veterinary Care. She's a graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, uses a range of alternative therapies to complement the traditional veterinary medical training that she has. Dr. Carrie, great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
It's wonderful. How's business? Are you busy?
Business is very good. Yes, I more and more every day I get calls from people looking for alternatives to a lot of the conventional medicine that's out there. So people are definitely looking for it. And a lot of people are calling me for acupuncture, especially, but yeah. Then also herbal medications, and I do Reiki too. I do essential oils and all of that stuff.
So that's all part of holistic veterinary medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a bit different from conventional.
Yes, holistic medicine. And really, for me, holistic medicine is an approach to health and wellness. It's not a specific form of therapy like, you can say alternative medicine includes the acupuncture, herbs, and essential oils. But holistic medicine is kind of an approach or a way of viewing an animal and disease and health conditions that really takes into account the whole animal. So not just the physical body, but then also the mind and the emotional and also the spiritual aspect of animal health.
And animals are different. I mean, you can have two dogs out of the same litter, for example, and they're going to be can have quite different personalities.
Oh, definitely. And you really take personality into account when you're doing a holistic evaluation. So you take into account the personality, the environment of the animal, their diet or their nutrition. All of this comes into play when you're evaluating the health.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Since I didn't give the number right away, let me do it right now. Here's that number to call if you would like to join in and wondering, do you use alternative medicine to keep your pets healthy or do you have questions about it? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or you can go to my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Or a photo as well. I always like to see photos of our pets. And if you got a pet photo you want to share, I hope you will do that. And that's at The Larry Mueller Show. That's my Facebook page. So you use the whole range. How did you learn this? Was it taught in vet school, any of it?
Oh, boy. You know, it's really, really, it's touched on in veterinary school, sometimes as an option, but it's really not taught in vet school. If you want to go the alternative route or if you want to do the holistic route, you really have to seek that out after veterinary school. So once I finished school, I went down to the Qi Institute in Florida to do my training in acupuncture and to get certified in acupuncture. And then I also learned about herbal medication down there and massage and just doing a lot of research on my own and talking to different veterinarians, talking to people and finding out what has worked and what people have used. And, really a large part of my approach is what's called integrative medicine. And that's combining the holistic approach or alternative therapies with the traditional or the conventional veterinary medicine. And it's really...
So you're not adverse to traditional medicine?
No, not at all. Not at all. Conventional medicine really excels in a lot of things, and especially the diagnostics, especially for trauma and acute cases. Mm-hmm. That's where conventional medicine really, really shines.
Yeah.
And a lot of the more chronic diseases, chronic conditions, that's where the alternative therapies can really have the best effect.
And you go right to the patient. The patient doesn't come to you. You go to the patient.
Right. I do house calls. So I'm a mobile vet primarily. I also work out of several clinics in the Madison area if necessary. But I really find when I do acupuncture, especially going to an animal's house and going to its home environment, you know, there's no stress involved.
Yep.
So the animal is just, you know, they just see me as another person coming into the house to say hi and to pet them and maybe put in a few needles, you know, but it's really, really a relaxed environment. Yeah. So that's why I like to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Dee Dee in Couderay has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Dee Dee. Thank you for calling.
Hi, and thank you for listening. I'm listening. I have a almost 13-year-old purebred English Shepherd, and he's a great guy, very sweet, but our veterinarian says that his seventh cranial nerve is deteriorating. He's got some drooping on the left side of his face, and his legs are going out from under him. This has been going on, you know, it's getting more and more pronounced, but it's to the point where if I didn't have a son that could lift him in and out of the car, we probably would have had to put him to sleep. But I made a little sling for him so I can get him. You know, he still loves to go for walks, goes to the dog park. He's very energetic, doesn't seem to be in pain. As long as I've got the sling on him, where if he does go down, I can get him up, and he walks fine. He doesn't seem pain. But I wondered if acupuncture or something like that could possibly have a beneficial effect for him.
Oh, wow. Well, that's wonderful that you have the sling. That's to really help him move around. That's wonderful. And with neurological issues, yes, I have seen acupuncture have very beneficial effects. Now, that being said, it might not be a cure-all. And that's, you know, there are limitations in everything, but I definitely would recommend seeking out an acupuncture treatment to see if it might help your dog. Another thing that I would really encourage you to do is some massage and even some physical therapy for him, because if he's not using those back legs, those muscles are going to start to atrophy pretty quickly. So if you can even do any massage on the back legs all the way down his spine, his whole body, that's really going to benefit him.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to care for being touched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's
area.
Yeah,
but
certain
walk. When he's up, he walks fine.
It's oh, just great.
Getting up and getting down, but once he's up, he walks. He's a trooper.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your calling. Good luck, Dee Dee. Marty in Spring Prairie, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a Tibetan Mastiff male. He's about 2 years old, and he's started to get granulomas between his front center toes and his front paws. I'm told it's an allergy, and it seems to respond to prednisone, but I'm not really a big fan of having him on steroids. So, have any suggestions?
Oh, well, yes, I do. You know, prednisone is one of those things, and that's a drug that's used pretty often in conventional medicine, and I think that's a big place where the alternative approach can really be beneficial. You know, the steroids are kind of seen as the reliever of everything, and they do great in relieving symptoms, but they really don't cure anything. So part of the holistic approach is really getting to the bottom, getting to the root cause of things. So, you know, allergies can be a huge thing, and I would really take a look at what kind of diet you're feeding him. What kind of food is he on?
I've switched foods for him, and it hasn't seemed to have really done the trick. And it's tough to track because it sort of comes and goes. But you know, he's been on. Right now he's on the California Natural.
Oh, great!
And before that, he was having a mixture of that and one of the other natural diets comes in a salmon and bison.
Mm-hmm. How long has he been on this current diet?
Most of his life. Well, his entire life, really.
Yeah, and the kind of my approach is when I see any animal with allergies, you really have to look at the immune system, because something in the immune system is out of balance that's causing this reaction to whether it's food or whether it's something in the environment. You know, something that his feet are coming into contact with that's causing this allergic reaction, or something, you know, we just don't know if whatever else it might be. But the basic fact is that something is going on with the immune system, and I would do everything that I could to support that. You know, so a good quality diet is definitely the key. So you have that going already. I would also recommend doing acupuncture. There are omega-3s are wonderful for any inflammation and kind of helping to boost the immune system.
Omega-3s are like fish oil.
Right, exactly. Okay. Fish oil. Yeah. And I would recommend a salmon oil, or you can also find krill oil.
Uh-huh.
But just making sure that the omega-3 that you're using, make sure the bottle says, you know, mercury-free, because that's a big thing that you have to watch out for.
Yeah, I've got access to very good quality fish oil. So.
Perfect.
Good. Good luck. Thank you, Marty, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. We also have a link to her website on my Facebook page, so you can go to The Larry Mueller Show. You'll get a link to her page, and you can learn some more about her right there. And, you know, this whole business of nutrition coming up, I thought it's probably worth it to talk a little bit more about the importance of nutrition in holistic care.
Yes. Nutrition is everything. Absolutely everything. You know, the body is made from food. Everything that we run on, our energy is based on what food we take in. You know, the GI tract is the pipeline that everything goes through. So 80% of the immune system is also located in the gut or in the GI tract. So really, by making sure that you're feeding and I say just the highest quality of food that you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's a raw food diet, whether you're doing home-cooked food at home, whether you're doing a high-quality kibble or canned food, just make sure that you're feeding the best that you can. And then also, I always recommend mixing in some fresh foods. Fresh food is the best, and every animal can benefit, as long as you're not doing, you know, the things that most people know to stay away from: grapes, raisins, onions. Single ingredient items are wonderful to mix in if you are feeding a conventional kibble-based or a canned food.
And lots of callers here. Julie in La Crosse, let's go to you next. Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I have an older dog who's going through congestive heart failure. She is on Vetmedin, but sometimes she has difficulty breathing in and out, and I do realize that's part of the problem with her issues. Is there anything that I can do for her to help her out a little bit when this occurs?
Oh, yeah. There are some wonderful herbs that are out there and supplements that can support the heart health. And a big one is coenzyme Q10, and that supports cardiovascular function, and it also helps support the immune system.
What was that again?
Coenzyme Q10. CoQ10. And you can really find that. You know, a lot of these things, too, you can find at health food stores and at pharmacies. So CoQ10 is one of those that's easily available.
Okay.
And another thing that I would add in is vitamin E. Vitamin E helps to support and strengthen the heart muscle.
Okay. Okay, so CoQ10.
Yep.
CoQ10.
Right. Coenzyme Q10 and vitamin E. There is also another great product out there that is made by Standard Process, which is a company that's based here in Wisconsin that makes wonderful whole food supplements. And they have a cardiac support supplement that has coenzyme Q10 in it. It has vitamin E. It also has hawthorn berry in it, which is an herb that can help support the heart. So I would encourage you to seek out that supplement as well.
And these can be used with her Vetmedin?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay, great, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, as we talk with her about holistic care for our pets. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Net as we talk with Dr. Carrie Donahue about holistic care for our pets. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show, and love to hear from you and also love to see some photos. Send some pictures of those pets. Jenny in Madison, your turn. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
What can we do? Sure. What can we do for you?
So I have a couple of elderly cats, and my oldest one, she's 14, and she's been really struggling with arthritis. She limps all the time. Sometimes it's worse than others. A regular vet had recommended a certain medication for joint problems. I don't recall the name, but she wouldn't eat her food. We had to put it on her food because the pills were too big to feed to her, and she wouldn't eat her food if we did that. So we tried a low-dose aspirin, and that makes her throw up. We only give it to her like once every 3 days. She's eating a Royal Canin limited ingredient diet right now. So I'm not sure if you have any suggestions for what to do about that.
Oh yeah, definitely. So yeah, and cats are tough. Trying to get any of, you know, you can prescribe or recommend all the medications in the world, but getting your cat to take them, now that's the problem. And that's a reason why I do like acupuncture so much, is it's not something that you're putting into the body. And now cats are tough with acupuncture too. Some of them do fine and some of them love it, but some of them don't. Some cats are very, very sensitive. So, but I would recommend if your cat might be up for it, trying acupuncture, because it really can have a great effect on any arthritis pain. Let's see. The other thing that I would recommend, diet change is good. I mean, any animal that has arthritis should be put on especially a grain-free diet. The corn and wheat that's in a lot of the conventional foods is inflammatory, so it can promote the inflammation in the joints that we see with arthritis. So that's great that you have her on a grain-free diet. An herb that's great for arthritis is boswellia, which is also known as frankincense, as well as turmeric is a good one. And you can find some supplements out there for cats that might even be made into like a treat sort of thing that, you know, your cat might or might not take. And the other thing too, fish oil. That's something that you can get in a capsule form, but you can easily open up that capsule and squeeze that oil into the food and mix it in, and that might be a way that your cat would take it.
So I have a couple of questions on the acupuncture. Is that something that's affordable? Is it long-term? And then as far as turmeric, what type of dose would that be? And I just a comment, too, that we did try the fish oil, and our cat is such a picky eater,
yeah.
She wouldn't even eat food with fish oil on it.
Wow, that's picky.
Yeah.
That is picky. So with acupuncture, you know, in my practice, I try to make it affordable. And usually it is something that you will be, what I usually recommend doing is 3 treatments about once a week or once every 2 weeks, and then reevaluating at that point. A lot of times acupuncture is not something that you need to continue every week for life. It's one of those things where you use the acupuncture to get the body back into balance. And once it is, you don't have to use it that often. You might need to have a tune-up, you know, every 6 months or once a year or something like that.
Oh, that's good. And then the turmeric,
I don't have a specific dosage for turmeric. What I usually do is use that in a supplement. And the supplement that I most use is one by Standard Process, and it's a Boswellia complex. And that has Boswellia, it's got turmeric in it, and it also has ginger in it, which is a great anti-inflammatory too. So you can find, and I don't know if I would give turmeric by itself, but I would find a supplement that has it in it, and a lot of them do these days.
Oh, can you spell that Boswellia?
Oh, Boswellia, it's Boswellia, and it's also known as frankincense. And there is a lot of research being done, and a lot of supplements are including Boswellia in it as a potent anti-inflammatory.
Okay, so that's not the name of the supplement.
It's called the Boswellia complex.
Oh, complex. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Cindy in St. Germain. Hi.
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 I'm a strong proponent in alternative medicine. I have a standard dachshund. A couple of years ago, was paralyzed from the neck back, and she was completely paralyzed. And drove downstate, and through chiropractic and acupuncture and herbs, she is 100%.
Wonderful.
So I just really promote that because I didn't want to do the surgery, and I couldn't afford the surgery, and she is 100%. But the reason that I called in is that back in around April, May, I had her into our just regular vet locally to have shots, and she felt a mass, took x-rays, did blood work, and basically said she's got a mass that's blocking her liver, and there's nothing that we can do about it. So just basically, you know. Couldn't give me any advice, and I've tried a couple of different kinds of foods because what she was having was just severe nausea, wouldn't eat, and for a dachshund not to eat, you know, it was bad, and then just real weird stools and things, but anyway, I've tried her on a couple of different foods. It doesn't agree with her. I did the grain-free, holistic-type foods. And she's been surviving on venison, hamburger, and rice, and she's been doing really well.
Okay.
And I just question, is she getting what she needs? Is there something more that I could be doing? Like I said, the vet here said there was nothing really that could be done.
Well, my approach to any masses or any cancer in the body is, you know, I really see it as a failure of the immune system, or just kind of an expression of an immune dysfunction. Because as long as the immune system is healthy, it's cleaning up any cells that might mutate and might turn into a cancerous mass or something like that. So I would say, number one, make sure that you're boosting her immune system and making sure that she's, you know, getting a good quality food. And if you're making sure that the food that you're feeding her is well-balanced. And that's a big thing if you're providing home-cooked food, is making sure that you're providing all of the nutrients that they need, beyond just the meat and the carbohydrates, making sure that you have, you know, a fat source in there and a calcium source. All of those things are important for providing overall health.
Where would you recommend finding information about that? Because, like, the vet basically led me to believe this dog isn't going to live very long, so don't worry about what you feed her. Just keep her comfortable. And she is, like I say, she's doing well. She's not any worse than she was before. She's tolerating the food I'm giving her. But I'm questioning, because it's becoming such a long time, I'm afraid that she's not getting what she needs.
So you're doing something right. You're on the right track. I would say there is a great book out there, and it's by Dr. Karen Becker. It's called Real Food for Real Dogs and Cats, I believe is the name of it. But that gives you wonderful guidelines on making home-cooked foods and exactly the balance of nutrients that you need in there, and also certain diets for certain health conditions, too.
So the name of that book again is?
It's called, I believe it's called Real Food for Real Dogs and Cats.
Okay.
By Dr. Karen Becker.
We'll look that one up. Judith will have that up on our posted on our Facebook page in probably a matter of minutes, be my guess. She's really good at that sort of thing. So, Cindy, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have Karen, a pediatrician from Baraboo, who said that the paw condition for the cat sounds similar to cases she deals with for children. The reaction may be because of something the cat is walking through, like the type of litter. If changing the litter didn't work, brushing the paws right after might help, or topical steroids could give relief without the systemic risks.
Yeah, I know. Anything that you see on the pads, and I say too, dogs can get into the cycle of licking their feet. You know, and if your dog is doing that, anytime you come in from being outside or taking your dog on a walk, make sure that you're wiping down those feet and you're wiping between the toes to get off any potential allergens or things that would cause sensitivity. Another thing that you can do is Epsom salt soaks for your dog's feet. And I would say, too, with the caller that had the question about the things on the feet, the Epsom salt soaks can really be beneficial.
And then we had a follow-up on the Boswellia comments that we were making from Mark. He says, I give my cats Boswellia supplements to help support joint health. I've had success mixing the powder with a small amount, a teaspoon or so, of turkey or chicken baby food and giving it like a treat.
Wonderful. Yeah, with cats, you really have to figure out what's going to work for them. So that's a great advice.
Little baby food? Sure, yeah. And that's not all, you know, a can of that or a little jar of that.
Perfect.
There we go. Vika in Little Suamico. It is your turn. Hi, Vika.
Hi. We have a little kitten at our house, and we just adopted him
from
the animal shelter.
Oh, great.
And he has this problem where he sucks on his bed, and he flexes his paws when he does that.
Okay, yeah, boy, we see this a lot in cats. A lot of times this can go back to if they are on their own at a young age, if they don't get to spend a lot of time with their mom, for whatever reason, if they're taken away from their mom too young, then you can see this suckling behavior. Sometimes it goes away on its own. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just one of those things that cats will do throughout life. And I do not really know of anything specific that works to, you know, just kind of working with your cat. And if it's something that they do that makes them feel comfortable, you know, maybe getting them a special toy or a pillow that they can do this on can help and, you know, give them some relief.
And if you're real worried about it, you can probably come up with things to distract. Like our cats would immediately drop everything to chase after a string.
Oh, great idea.
So if you see that behavior and you grab a string or something that the cat likes to play with, maybe that would help.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's excellent advice.
Okay, yeah, that sounds really good.
All right, thanks,
good
Mika.
Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And George in Oshkosh. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have an English lab that every couple months gets ear infections, and I end up going to the vet in the medication, and I use ear wipes and vinegar and aloe flush all week with ear, and I use the grain-free food.
Great. But you're still getting the ear infections.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, any dog that has the recurrent ear infections, grain-free food, number one. And I think, like you said, you do a vinegar wash. There is a great ear wash. If you do apple cider vinegar to water, 1 tablespoon and 1/2 cup can really help keep down any bacterial or yeast infections. But it sounds like you're doing that and you're still getting the ear infections. Has he had a workup, like, you know, some blood work done at a conventional veterinary clinic?
No.
Okay, just to rule out, because there are some systemic diseases that we see that can contribute to ear infections, like hypothyroidism is a common one. So I would take him in and do a full workup and have the blood work done to see if there might be anything else going on.
Yep, and would maybe be some weight gain be a symptom of the hypothyroid?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Worth a look.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling. And moving to John in Fall Creek. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I'm wondering if you can give a reference for, especially for herbal, reference for, let's say, common barnyard animals. I'm mostly interested in treating my cattle. I've got dogs and cats, too, but cattle, horses, you know, that sort of thing. I have one, but the lady was so old, she was treating things like dropsy. And so then you need a dictionary to look up the terms she's using to even figure out if, you know, what we're talking about.
Okay.
Plus, she was English, so some of the herbs are European plants that it's hard to get here.
Okay.
Boy, you know, in Madison, in Wisconsin, we are lucky because there are several practitioners who do practice on large animals. I do not, but there is a veterinarian that's based here in Madison, and her name is Dr. Jody Behrman, and I know that specifically she does work on horses and on cows. And yeah, I think you can just do some research on the internet and you'll be able to find somebody. There is another place called Animal Holistic Care Specialists based in Marshall, Wisconsin, and they do large animal as well.
I was interested in an herbalist type reference book.
Oh, reference book. Oh, boy. I don't know for large animals. I will have to look that up myself.
Well, tell you what. Can you look that up at some point?
I can look that up. Yes, post, I definitely will.
Look it up and post it on our my Facebook page.
Okay.
And then John can just go back to the page and take a look.
Yes, I will do that. I will do that. You know, there are several books out there that, you know, you can find a book on herbs for animals, and I think that's the name of a book, just Herbs for Animals by Dr. Greg Tilford. And he might have some references to large animals in there, but I definitely will look that up.
Okay. And so keep an eye on my Facebook page, John, and we'll see what we can do to help you out here. And more callers online, and Autumn, I think, is up next. Autumn in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, I have a dog with Addison's disease. He's on fluticasone and prednisone. Is there anything we can do naturally for him?
Oh, well, there are a lot of things that you can do just to support his overall health. And, you know, Addison's disease, it deals with the adrenal glands, and it's an imbalance in the body. So anything that you can do to support the adrenal glands and support the immune system is going to be beneficial. You know, and doing acupuncture is also a wonderful way to balance out the body. It's not to say that there might be or there might not be a possibility of getting him off of the conventional medications, but definitely there are things that you can do to support his overall health. I would say acupuncture. Standard Process makes a supplement that supports the adrenal glands, and part of what they do is called glandular therapy. And this is kind of along the premise that like heals like. So they'll take the adrenal gland from a cow or a pig or a sheep and take the extract and put it into a supplement that we take or we give to our pets. So the adrenal gland from a cow is going to help support the function of the adrenal gland in any animal that takes it.
And what was the company for that?
The company is called Standard Process, and it's a Wisconsin-based company.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Annie in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, good morning. Say, I've got two questions. My cat, Vladimir, is 22 and a half years old.
Wow,
good for you.
You know, he's, of course, slowed down, but he's still got juice in him, you know, and he's not on any medication, but his poor little front legs are kind of bent because I guess that's what happens as we get older, and he doesn't seem to be in pain, but I wonder if I should maybe start giving him some glucosamine. And another question is, I've got this, it looks like a toothpaste tube, and it's a supplement that it's kind of brown and gooey, and it's supposed to help add calories. If that's a good thing to give him, and how often can I give it? And I'll take my answers on the radio. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah, glucosamine, chondroitin, wonderful supplements for cats if you can get them in. Again, the fish oil is wonderful for arthritis and the boswellia, as well as acupuncture, I think, can really be beneficial. And I think you mentioned the high-calorie supplement. Well, with some cats, especially older cats, they can use the extra calories just to kind of support their overall health. So I don't know exactly what product you're using, so I can't really say, but, you know, anyone can contact me through my website, phone, email. I am more than happy to consult with you, give you any ideas that I have on anything, any conditions.
And thanks very much for calling. And let's turn to Nancy in Grafton. Nancy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
My daughter has a Great Pyrenees, and she's white, except she drools and drools, and she gets all this pink stuff on her paws and on her face and her fur, and she does go to the vet, but is there any alternative way of taking care of that? She's not a very old dog. I mean, she's kind of young, and she's otherwise in really good shape.
Uh-huh.
Drooling, is there something that would help?
Drooling, well.
And that pink. Dyeing her fur, you know, it takes a lot of work to keep her nice and white like
Yeah, no, definitely. And that, you know, that pink staining happens when the saliva comes into contact with the air, and then there is a little bit of a bacterial reaction there. So, you know, I've seen wonderful results with switching to a high quality, either a home cooked or a raw food can really make a difference in some of that staining. As far as the drooling goes, you know, just making sure that there is nothing going on in the mouth, like dental disease, gum disease, a broken or a chipped tooth that might be causing that excess salivation.
Well, she takes pretty darn good care of that animal, and she, you know, and gets to the vet regularly and all that stuff. But it was just that staining and that, well, the drooling, I guess. She walks around with a washcloth, you know, what the dog says all the time. I'm not kidding you one bit.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Email from Sue. Carrie mentioned about adding natural food, fruits or veggies, in addition to kibble. What would you recommend? Carrots? Apples?
Yes. Fresh food. So what I recommend are any single ingredient item is probably, as long as your animal doesn't have a specific allergy, is going to be fine to add in. Carrots, apples are wonderful, especially when you get warm weather, that the fruits that have high water content, so like the melons, watermelon, cantaloupe is great. Frozen peas, green beans, blueberries, all of this stuff is great to mix in. And, you know, single ingredient meat items. If you're cooking meat for yourself, you can easily, as long as it doesn't, you're not frying it or anything, it doesn't have a lot of oil in it. If it's lean meat, that's fine to add in.
And we have, Judith has also posted that book that you recommended. So Dr. Becker's Real Food for Healthy Dogs and Cats.
There it is.
Up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, you can click on it and you will find, you'll go right to it. And boy, Carrie, it's great fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dr. Carrie Donahue is our guest today, and she has, we also have her veterinary care business up on our Facebook page, so you can get to it. It's called Kindred Spirits Holistic Veterinary Care. She'll come right to your home. Her office is on wheels.
Yes.
It's great. And that's how you treat pretty much all your patients.
Pretty much. Everything that I need and everything that I have is in my vehicle, so I'm good to go wherever I need to go.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to another visit. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, we've been talking about all kinds of alternative care for our pets, and we've zeroed in. Mostly I've heard about cats and dogs today. So next, Dr. Kurt Sladke from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine joins us. He specializes in the care of a whole range of exotic pets. So whether you have an exotic in your home or not, it's sure to be a fascinating conversation. And I hope you'll stay tuned right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.